Allah Ta'ala's whole creation, if we look at the whole creation of Allah, and we see that everything is beautiful, nice to look at, everything that Allah Ta'ala has made, manufactured, created, it possesses beauty and jamal. But from all of creation as well, from the whole of creation, from all of the beauty, the beautiful things and the fascinating things to look at, from all of the things that Allah has created, if you go into gardens and orchards, you will see beautiful flowers. You go into the valleys, you'll see the beauty of the mountains and the trees and the waterfalls, and you'll see the flowing rivers, the beauty inherent there. And wherever you go into the different parts of the world and the corners of the globe, you see beauty. If you go into the deserts, you'll see the beautiful looking sand. You may go into the wilderness and see the sun setting, and you see the greatness of Allah. Sometimes you see when you're on the banks of the rivers or on the coast of the sea, when you see the sun is setting, how beautiful it looks. Or sometimes at night, you go again to the coast in Karachi, we had the sea, and we'd see this regularly on the night, 14th night, and you're standing on the coastline and you see a beautiful, ajeeb, unique scene. But most beautiful of all of these that Allah Ta'ala has made, Ahsan al-Taqweem, that Allah Ta'ala has said. What is that? Allah Ta'ala said, was the human being, the respected human being, me, you, all of us, the most beautiful creature in the whole of the universe is the human being. And the beautiful, most beautiful form of creation, that doesn't matter what kind of person is, what color is, black or white or brown, etc. But he has a beauty that Allah Ta'ala has given to him or her. And someone may have an eye which is beautiful, a nose is beautiful, the ears are beautiful, and the neck is beautiful, the lips are beautiful, the cheeks are beautiful. Allah Ta'ala has created everything with balance on the beauty of on the body of the human being. And the beauty is visible, is there to see and to appreciate. That if nobody defines or praises our beauty, but Allah Ta'ala says that you've got a mirror, you can look at yourself and praise yourself. And there's a dua that Allah, you can be a beautiful appearance. We say this, don't we? So the person himself accepts that I am beautiful, I'm nice looking at, there's nobody like me, alhamdulillah, I'm very good. And the human being testifies to himself that how good he looks. But insan, in the beauty of insan, there's something that's more beautiful than that. More beautiful than our mouth and our eyes and our lips and our ears and our hair. Doesn't matter how beautiful we look physically, there's something more beautiful than that, over and above the beauty of the physical body. And that's the most beautiful thing about the human being. And that is the heart of the human being. The heart of the human being is very beautiful and attractive. The husn of the heart, a human being cannot imagine the how Allah Ta'ala has given us the heart. And it's so beautiful, attractive, nice to look at, jameel. And we can imagine that Allah Ta'ala himself has stated that if you want to see that where can I be found and where will my closeness be experienced, that is the heart of the mu'min. So imagine how beautiful must be the heart of the mu'min, that what Allah Ta'ala must have put inside the heart of the mu'min, the qualities, the power to absorb and the vision that a person possesses. This is how beautiful is the heart that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, my brothers. The heart is a very, very valuable asset. But understand one point as we go along, that doesn't matter how beautiful a person looks or how a precious thing you might have, but if we don't take care or protect that precious gem or asset or product, then it's spoiled, isn't it? For example, somebody gives you a valuable diamond, a precious stone. And if you if it gets dirty, you don't look after it, it falls into the mud, then it will get spoilt, it will get contaminated, it will get dusty and affected. Or if somebody gives you an expensive car and then it gets dirty, there's sand and dust over the, the bodywork and on the wheels, then it will look, it won't look the same. But if you protect something, look after it, then the husn, the beauty, continues to shine. If you morning and evening polish your car, wash it, it'll always look as if you've just taken it out of the garage, brand new. It happens like this, doesn't it? Why? Because you looked after it. You protected it. And the people who have a good mind say, if something is expensive, then protect it so that its value sustains and increases. For example, you've got a precious stone or diamond, protect it so our heart is beautiful and precious. But if we don't protect it, look after it, then what will be its consequence? It will get spoilt. It will get dirty. Remember this. The same principle applies. And if the mu'min's heart is spoilt, oh, then very bad is the conclusion. Even externally he may look beautiful and nice, but he won't have beauty. No. And we've seen people who externally are beautiful, attractive, soon as they speak, possesses la hawla wa la quwwata. What a wasteful person. This person is not a good person. What a fuzul human being, because his heart inside speaks out. Becomes apparent that he's a waste of space. They'll run away from this person, get away from this person, there's no use of this person. So a person, by making himself look good outwardly, zahiri, doesn't make a person beautiful. It's from the heart. For example, if you see, you'll see someone, he may not look anything special, but when he speaks, you may be attracted to that person. You'll like that person. And you'll become a lover of that person. Oh, he's a high status person. We thought he was just nothing, insignificant. But from his words, his speech, we're enjoying it. And what's beautiful about that person? His heart is beautiful, clean. MashaAllah, you understand what I'm saying, MashaAllah. Such students are good, who understand what the Ustad is saying regularly, ongoing. So now we've understood this point. And the heart belongs to each individual. If we don't protect it, it will be spoiled, contaminated, becoming poor. Oh, I do ibadah. For example, I put a jacket over it, I put a kameez over it, and I have got it underneath my vest, and Allah Ta'ala has put it within my body, and I'm looking after it. I'm protecting it. In the hadith, it stated that when a human being commits a sin, and the definition of sin isn't that if you do zina, we'll say it's a sin, or if we kill someone, it's a sin. No. Even if it's a mustard seed's weight or an atom particle weight, it will be a sin. Say it loudly. What is it? A sin. And sin is sin. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi stated that it's not necessary that you do a major sin and there's a big fireball that's earned. Even a small little bit of fire can set the house on fire. A matches. Yes, what is a match is? And I've seen various events like this. The mother and father have gone, child strikes the match, and there was something next to it, flammable, it was set on fire, the whole house got burnt, the children got burnt, just from one match. One match. And we see that an oil lamp, it can set the whole house on fire, it can destroy the house. And we see this from examples, and the sin is such a big, big tragedy that the fire of Jahannam is stuck to a sin. With every sin is stuck the fire of Jahannam. That's why I stated in hadith that never consider a sin as insignificant or minor. And with every good deed, there are the gardens of Jannah attached. That's why I never consider any good deed as a minor. Both opposite extremes, yes? So even if you get an opportunity, alhamdulillah, that you can give somebody water, give the water straight away. If you get an opportunity that you can assist somebody to cross the road, give the assistance. Rather, look out for the opportunities that I need to get a small, any small example of a good deed during the day. Great walis of Allah, pious predecessors, they had opportunities. Hazrat Thami Ramadullah, he would keep a book in his pocket. And he was Hakimul Ummat. And whilst he would walk, he'd write alongside that, Subhanallah. And somebody asked Hazrat Mufti Azam Muhammad, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, asked his Sheikh, and this event I will quickly conclude it, and I'll repeat again sometime, because it's not linked to what we're discussing. So he had a habit. And here we don't have any habit. We don't have desire to attain Jannah. We don't have any worry or concern about Jahannam. So in reality, what we should have is we should be looking out, seeking how many good deeds have I earned. I've prayed salah, and I've recited the Quran, and I've earned education, knowledge, ilm, and I've gone on tabligh, propagating the deen, I've done different actions. But this is also a very good deed. That person, once he's walking along, he gets an opportunity to do good. If you see someone who's upset or in a problem, can I help you? You've attained a good deed. You want to say Subhanallah. Somebody, has he asked today? No, we haven't asked. That, for example, you're leaving the masjid, somebody stood on the side, stop and say, are you okay? Shall I drop you home? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He says, no, it's okay, you go, I'll go. But it's your duty, you fulfilled it. Why? Because this good deed will take you where? Say loudly. To where? To Jannah. So will we all do this? Will we implement this? Yes, this is something to understand. So, has it stayed from, it comes from the inside, isn't it? So big deeds, don't say, oh, if I sit and go into the majlis and do dhikr and that's just the good deed. Allah says, whilst you're walking around in the day, roaming around, there are many opportunities that come in front of you to do good deeds. So to protect the heart, that if a mu'min does a sin, then that sin, it comes straight onto where? And it adheres to where? The heart, no other part of the body. The hadith tells us this. The sin, it attaches as a blot, as a dark spot on the heart. And he doesn't know, the individual who's sinning. If we write, then in the day, if we go and take a survey, that how many small sins, so-called, we have committed, what's the condition of our heart now? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. But when we go to the bed, we think we are kutubs, just before we're sleeping. I don't think I'm any less than any kutub or Rabi Basri. And then we get upset, why am I not seeing any dreams? I'm doing good deeds. Why am I not experiencing visions? Then open the book of your heart for a few moments and see how black is the heart. How dark is the heart. Am I saying the truth, brothers? But we don't know this. So one small sin attaches to another sin, attaches to another sin, attaches to another. In the hadith it's stated, then the feeling of the heart becomes what? The emotion of the heart, that, what does it become? Becomes like a piece of coal, dark coal. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has spoken about the previous nations and tribes, and every qawm is addressed by the Quran. That not just that the Quran was of the previous nations or the previous centuries or special group of people. No, Allah Ta'ala says that every generation the Quran applies. وَقَسَتْ قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. This is the part of a verse that I'm telling you. وَقَسَتْ, Allah says that the hearts, what have they become? Like rocks, hard, like stone. When a person commits sin, then what's the position of the heart? قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, Allah Ta'ala says that the hearts become hard like rock and stone. Allahu Akbar. And the sign of this, of a hard heart, what's the sign of a hard heart? We all have to look at this. Do we have this? Don't consider your salah, sujood, prostration, ibadah. Look at what? The condition of the heart. Say loudly, what? Now look at the emotion of your heart. This is tazkiyah that's happening. This is where the scanning takes place. So scan yourself. Don't fall in deception, because this whole world is full of deception. So scan yourself when you sat down. These Sufi Hazrat who are sitting here, analyze yourself. Scan. Yes. So how will we realize that who's got a hard heart? The sign of a hard heart is that that heart will never accept the haq, the right. In the verse, the orders of the Quran won't be accepted the way that they are. Allah Ta'ala's orders, the heart will not accept the way that they should be accepted. Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statements and sayings will not be accepted the way that they should be. And the person tries to take shortcuts and take bypasses and get away with things. These are the signs of the heart. The heart. That, for example, the person doesn't have passion and desire towards good things. He doesn't want to do good deeds. He doesn't desire them. And he doesn't feel enjoyment from his ibadat, worship actions. And he doesn't want to hear good things. He's not used to hearing good things. And he's not enjoying himself when he's in good company, amongst good people, in good sohbat, in good places. And he feels negative and a detachment. What's happening? Oh, I've got to get out of here. He's desperate to leave. Oh, let's go and watch a match. Let's go and do some other things. Oh, let's enjoy. So what's this that's happening here? What's this what you're doing? I don't understand this. I don't feel good here. They feel like desperate to get away. When they see the masjid, they're upset. Oh, everywhere there's a masjid. What's this? I don't understand why people are doing this. Everywhere there's a masjid. They feel disenchanted. And they don't have any desire towards the deen. Opposition to that, fisk and fujur and sins and shaitani and evil actions. And he likes evil actions or shaitan influence actions, the desire, the pull, the thinking towards shaitan. And he has no manners or differentiation between halal and haram. Whatever the Quran has advised, what's easy he'll take, what's hard he'll leave, shun. The salah that can be prayed with ease, they'll come. That they don't want to pray, they'll leave. Allah's ahkams to change the ahkams of Allah. That heart is very fast. What he wants to accept, he'll accept. What he wants to reject, he'll reject. No. And he has very many, many examples that, oh, I can leave this, I don't have to do this, we've come to this dunya, we're forced to do this, we've come to this country. So his practice of the deen changes with the atmosphere, the climate. In Makkah, something else. In Medina, something else. In Manchester, something else. In Surat, something else. In Baruch, something else. In Karachi, something else. In Bangladesh, something else. Every place, the style of his deen will change. His practice will change. His lifestyle will change. His way of life will change. And what's this the sign of? وَقَسَقْ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala says. This is all the sign of the heart that is contaminated. He has no fear that I'm committing a sin, I've done wrong. He has no care that what actions have I done. No, I don't know. His heart totally is black, and he does not want to receive anything good. He doesn't like anything good. He doesn't accept anything good. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala says. كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ Allah says further, ahead, that person, that he's got titles, he accepted, and people think he's pious, but inside his heart is so dirty, that person has become a fasiq from inside, an evil doer, Allah Ta'ala says. That's all that's left is for him to come to me. There's nothing externally. All his actions are a waste. The heart is dirty. So all of the ibadah will be delayed and accepted because of the black heart. And everything he's doing is for show, as an image. And he's just put a veil over him. He's put, like a coat over him. He's put a cover over him to show people. But Allah says that all of the actions and his conditioned emotions are like the fasiqoon. Like the fasiq evil dwell. Allah says, I know the person from inside his heart. I don't look at their bodies. What do I look at? Allah says, say loudly, the heart. And the person's got an impure heart. So those who are hard-hearted, Allah has mentioned, defined them. That person is living the life of a fasiq. Totally fisq. But when the people see him, obviously they don't say anything. No. Oh, he's very good and he's pious. He's got a high level. They don't understand that the visor is on top of their eyes. And they're blindfolded. Allah says, these people whose hearts, their hearts are like hard as a rock, like stones, that person is destroyed. Destruction. And Allah has given us such a big message that if insan, human being, has the fear of the hereafter, I swear by Allah, if he has the fear of the grave, then he will have correct himself inside, reform himself inside when the Quran, this verse comes out. Allah, I'm so dirty. People think I'm pious, I'm an alim, I'm a hafiz, and they think I'm a Hazrat Sahib, they give me titles, they think I'm a pious woman, and they make me do du'as for them, ask this woman to do du'a, etc., etc. But this is my hal, Allah. I'm sinful. Allah's called me, addressed me as a fasiq, entitled, give me the title of the fasiq. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he has not reformed his heart. And he's looked to his heart and said, I'm a dhaleel, I lie, I backbite, I commit fraud, and I consume haram. And people are praising me externally. But Allah Ta'ala has unraveled today the secret that what I am, I'm a fasiq. Allah said that I'm a fasiq. Is this not the case? It is. So how can that person be alive, live a life that he thinks is good? I'm shocked by that person. Allahu Akbar. Allah in the Qur'an Hakim is saying that you are the fasiq, the evildoer. Not to your face, not to your appearance, not to your libas, not to your home. Nothing of yours is in reality about which Allah Ta'ala says, all of your assets and possessions, Allah says, are mentioned in the Qur'an. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That I've announced in the Quran, whoever imitates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mine. He's close to me. And every single action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you make it in your life a misal, an example, and you adhere to it, I said this in the Quran, Allah says, and our homes like this, our appearances like this, are our households like this, is our life standard like this, lifestyle, are our children like this. So what does the Quran say? Openly, that our hearts, they are hard. And Allah says this leads to fisq, fasiqoon. The person becomes a fasiq. So this is very bad with relation to the hereafter. This is a little bit related to yesterday's subject. Matter. So a person who has real fear of the hereafter, whose heart has some space in it for goodness, then that person's day goes, night goes, the yar, I've got so many deficiencies in my heart. My heart is black. That I thought my heart was good and I thought it was illuminated and enlightened, but my heart is black. Suddenly then Allah's verse revealed. We go further. Allah says that Allah gives encouragement and peace. اعلموا, Allah says, Allahu Akbar, the pious treatises have stated, that Allah says that don't fear, don't have grief. You are the ummah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the followers of my Habib, you are in his ummah. So I don't want to see in any way or form that you go to Jahannam or that you become a fasiq and you burn. No way. Allah says, اعلموا. In Allah says that al-arda ba'da al-mawtiha, the Hafiz will tell us that verse that I'm reciting. Is it like this? Yes. So what a beautiful statement. Allah says, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Why do you fear? Allah is so happy with you today that you have analyzed yourself and considered yourself as a fasiq, subhanAllah. When the mariz, the patient, considers himself as a patient properly, then subhanAllah, the path opens because he's getting the cure then. So the doctor, when you go to the doctor, it's good you've come quickly. If you hadn't come today, then your cancer would have spread further and got worse. Isn't it? The doctor says this. Now how they become that. Very good you've come to us. So Allah today is happy that subhanAllah, that you have saved yourself. Don't worry, sleep nicely, peacefully at night. اَعْلَمُ. Allah says that after death what will happen? Allah gives an example. I'll give you an example now, Allah says. Then look here. Allah says that do every piece of plots of land give flowers or wheat or crops or fruits? No. Allah says if you look across the vast land, many pieces of land are barren, dead. They don't give off any fruit or produce or vegetables, etc. What's the sign of a piece of land that's dead? That just like the hearts that are hard, the same sign Allah gives the example of the land that the land or the earth that is dead. Allah says it is not alive because the barren land has no fruits, doesn't give off any rice, etc. Nothing, but there are wild plants and there are animals wandering around and nobody can consider that there's any benefit. The head, Allah Ta'ala has given the example of the heart. Allah says, why do you worry and fear if your heart is like this, that there's no you can say root of the deen and you inside you everything is fisk and evil actions. But remember Allah Ta'ala says, Allah says yuhyil arda ba'da mawtiha, that the earth that you've seen, your Rabb, does he revive that land or not? Of course, say subhanAllah. Allah does. Allah says the cycle comes. So don't you have the strength within you that after days we see that same piece of land become soft and vegetables are growing and the birds are coming and somebody's mashallah hand, a good farmer's hand has come onto that land and now the crops are growing and the wheat's growing, subhanAllah. So your Rabb, he allows this, doesn't he? We say yes, Allah Ta'ala does allow this rukha. So Allah says that how comes this barren land has become alive? How? SubhanAllah. Allah says, how did I make this land alive? What means did you use to make this land alive? So Allah says, I didn't say kun, I didn't say instruction be, rather you, O human being, use the means. What did you do? You say, Allah, this was barren land, your fadl with your grace, you allowed the clouds to come, and then the dark clouds came over the land. Say, subhanAllah. Then what happened with the dark clouds, Allah, the dark clouds arrived. Then on top of that, there were cool winds blowing with the dark clouds. Wow. Then what happened? Then Allah, with the dark clouds and the breeze, then the droplets of rain fell from the skies. And then where did those drops fall? And the answer is Allah, they fell onto the chest of the earth. And soon as they fell onto the earth, there was so much rahmah with that rain and your fadl, Allah, that the earth became soft. And then that land that was barren from decades became a garden with flowers and farming took place and the crops grew, subhanAllah. Allah allowed it to become alive. Allah says this in the Quran. In a'lamu, take a warning and a learning from this. Further, Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, قَدْ بَيِّنَ لَكُمْ لَآيَتِي لَا لَكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. The verse concludes. And how does it conclude? Allah says, is this a small sign for you? What a beautiful examples I'm creating for you, Allah Ta'ala says. Beautiful examples. If you have khawf, fear, you have understanding, then what do you fear? Why are you fearing? That this earth have made alive. Allah says, I can make your dead hearts alive. Allah, you have corrected and improved the earth, the soil, the rain has come, the breeze has come, and the dark clouds have come. But inside me, what rain will come, which wind will blow, breeze will blow, how will I be corrected? Allah says, قَدْ بَيِّنَ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. That I will tell you, Allah says, the clear signs. These are big examples I've given to you. What, subhanAllah, great examples. As soon as I will send the dark clouds for the earth, then whoso for your dark heart, Allah says, I've sent the clouds. And what clouds are they? They are the walis of Allah. Subhanallah, the Allah wale. Say Subhanallah again. Say it again, Subhanallah. Allah is great. Allah is the greatest. Allah says, they are my friends, the friends of Allah the awliya. Allah says, they've been born for this reason. They've been sent, created for this reason. Allah says, who brought the greatest cloud and shade was the Habib of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then after that, the Sahaba Ikram, they did the same work. They also the clouds and the shade. Then came the Tabi'een, the Taba Tabi'een. And then after that, until Qiyam, Allah says, I will continue to send my awliya Allah. These are the clouds and the shade and the protection. And Allah says, the hearts that I want to revive, then I send my wali, my friend on the earth, Hindustan, which was the place of idols where people worship the angels, the idols. Allah said, I revived that Indian subcontinent with the wali al-Hazar Khwaja, Mohinuddin Chishti, rahmatullahi, and he came, and hundreds of thousands of people came towards the deen. Did Islam not come? Hazrat Databaksh, rahmatullahi, came. Did Islam not come? And these phases will continue. Then different, you can say, reminders will come and examples will come. Now it stopped. Then again that will start. Then kufr and wrong actions will spread across the earth. And then bid'at will spread again. Different ways and a lack of Islam. Then Deen-e-Akbar came again. And the time of the Mughal emperors. And Allah says, again I sent the cloud, the shade, Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Allahu Akbar. What was the hal when the Mujaddad, Allah says, my Mujaddad came, when the cloud came, the protection, and what was the hal? It was Deen Akbari, the Mughal emperor Akbar said, worship me, prostrate to me, and all the ulama scholars were sold, such big scholars that the Quran said that, subhanAllah, their tafsir had no stop, nothing ceasing until now, Faizi. The great ulamas would be sitting there, and they say, MashaAllah, King, you're right, and it's jais to prostrate to you, and to prostrate to the sun, and to marry in amongst different faiths, etc. It's okay. Why? Because their hearts were hard, had become hard. Allahu Akbar. And the color of the dunya had overwhelmed them. What did Allah Ta'ala do? Allah said, that's your choice. I will prepare now. I'lamu innaha. Allah says, that don't fear, don't wilt and shake. That the loss will come to you, but the goodness will come as well. Subhanallah. That the loss comes first in that situation. Allah Ta'ala took Hazrat Mujaddad al-Wafthani, rahmatullahi, and he was in Sarhad Sharif in India. Alhamdulillah, his tomb is there, his grave is there. Naqshbandi Silsila is that. Otherwise, what else is Naqshbandi Silsila if we don't have Hazrat Mujaddad al-Wafthani, rahmatullahi? What Qiyamah came? The deen was revived and renewed, alhamdulillah, at that time. Look at the kitabs upon kitabs. What happened at that time? Isn't it, Mawlana? That the deen was revived, a new deen, a refreshing deen. And then Sufism that was there before that, there was arguments about wujud and the body and the spirit and Allah Akbar. People started to, they destroyed the practice of dhikr, adhkar, and they went towards, you can say, other wrong things. And he came and revived this thing. He said, this is wrong, this is not dhikr that you're doing. Come, let me teach you the method of the dhikr that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba Ikram demonstrated. And that is the same Naqshbandi tariqah today that we're doing. He eliminated bid'at, innovation, dhulam, oppression, and he absorbed the barren, that period. But alhamdulillah, that cloud arrived to benefit the ummah. So Allah says, why do you fear? Why are you worried? That what do you gain from the company of my walis? Maybe you'll get lost. But the shade and the cloud will come. Even today in front of you, this example is there. Tell me that in this dunya, in the Western Hemisphere, when I came, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, then the what a cloud and a breeze Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah sent here, that came here. Subhanallah, that today 800 people are sitting and listening to the dhikr of Allah. This was my sheikh, his achievement, Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah. He said, go, get up from here. Why are you sitting here? Go and do the work of the deen. I said, where will I go? Nobody recognizes me, knows me. He said, go and revive the name of Allah and generate the name of Allah in the hearts of the people and make their hearts alive and teach them the name of Allah. When I was coming from there, from my sheikh's company, I didn't know anybody, nobody recognized me, nor did I know anyone. There was no khanka, nor did I have a direction of any masjid. When I came, they were all enemies. We used to do bid'at, wrong things. And I tell you how the cloud and the shade comes, but the wali of Allah pushed me that you must go there to the UK. And I was in a room, no one else was there, thinking, Allah, Hazrat Hukam, I have to do a dhikr tonight. So shall I do dhikr with the stones and the rocks, or who shall I do dhikr with? Who will hear this? But what did I know? That the walis of Allah, they are the qatain, the clouds of shade and protection. How can they stop? And the breeze, the cool breeze, today after 50 years, the result of that has come out, alhamdulillah. Has it not come out? The test result, has it not come out? So what is this? Is this not the cloud that Allah Ta'ala sent? The protection, the shaheed? Allah with the shaheed, that what else happens is that you send the cool breeze first and then alongside that, the droplets of rain. But here, your walis of Allah, what comes for them? Allah says, with them comes the same. First comes the cool, cold breeze. Then will come, alhamdulillah, then the rain will fall onto those hearts. Allah, what are those winds and breezes? What is the rain? Allah says, the wind, the breeze. As soon as you go to the company of the wali Allah, the first breeze you will experience is tawbah, repentance, subhanallah. And the breeze of tawbah flows. And what is the rain, Allah? It is the dhikr of Allah, the rain of dhikr of Allah that falls and is absorbed by the dhikr. So company of the shaykh, and by sitting in the wali of Allah's company, you will have two things straight away: true, honest, sincere tawbah, and dhikr Allah, constant in heart. Those who ever had a sohbat with my hazrat or any other shaykh who said anyone else, then apart from company of the wali, you cannot benefit with any other connection, way of connecting with the shaykh. And these two things are there, that without which our heart cannot be cleaned. Our heart cannot be cleaned. If there's no tawbah, if dhikr is not performed, then that heart will be black as coal. And kathirun fasiqun. Doesn't matter how much you say, I'm clean and pure, you're nothing if in your heart you don't have the company of the wali of Allah or the sohbat. Whatever maqam that person has, the teacher, and if he's given himself titles, it can never be that he is what he says he is. His heart is black, he'll be dangerous. You'll have to save yourself from that person. And you have to look and analyze that, is there good sohbat there, good company? Subhanallah, is his dhikr there? Is it benefiting? That's it, end of story. Then every action of his will be beneficial, inshaAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So two things we attain by the company of the walis of Allah. Two clouds, protection. One is true tawbah, honest tawbah. And secondly, the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Now, alhamdulillah, this point gives us encouragement that we don't have to worry about anything. Why do we shake and jada go? Allah says, seek my wali Allah and sit with him. Doesn't matter how hard your heart has become, it's a rock. Allah gives a guarantee. You won't have even left that company and your mission will be accomplished. Subhanallah, it cannot be that Allah has given big encouragement here. Big encouragement, subhanallah. Great encouragement Allah has given. Hazrat Tanvi Ramtara stated, subhanAllah, he was Mujaddad, wasn't he? He was the reviver of the Deen, Hakim ul-Ummat. He said, remember that if you do not find the Wali Allah, then you are in danger. As long as you didn't find the Wali of Allah, you are in danger. But when you attain the Wali Allah in his company, then don't consider that you have nothing. Then the good news has come to you that inshallah, now you've got the Wali Allah as his company, his tawajjuh, focus, his du'as, his barakah, his blessings. This is that great connection that you will stand totally and 100% successful when you leave here. Allahu Akbar. And the true masla has been solved. Allah Ta'ala sent you to a Wali Allah's company. Don't wilt, don't shudder, don't shake. When you leave this world, you'll be free from the sins and you'll wander into paradise openly. That's why state, isn't it? That we have to go to that city. How shall I go? So if you take the number 5 bus, to sit on it. Don't worry about it after that. That bus will take you straight to London if you want to go to London. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's an example. Now we're standing. We say, how can I go sit on this bus? We're double-minded. Allah says, then someone guides you that you take the 5, bus number 5, you take your bag, your bedding, sit in the bus. You cool your eyes. You're cool, feeling satisfied. And you close your eyes and you know you have total yaqeen 100% that this bus will go to London. That's why the Quran says that when you sit in the company of Wali Allah, then straight to Jannah will take you. It won't stop anywhere en route. Subhanallah. So have determination, courage and a passion, desire to do the good. Just a little bit upon ourselves, we need to do shukr to Allah, be grateful to Allah, and be determined. Keep on fighting nafs and shaitan, and stay steadfast on your tawbah. Don't let your tawbah break. The dhikr of Allah that your shaykh has prescribed to you, stay steadfast on that. Then you don't need to worry about anything else after that. That your heart, if it's accepted the tawbah, you'll wash your heart with tawbah, with the fadal wala, and the tawajjuh of the shaykh will be alive, his words will be alive. Where a little bit of black darkness comes, then again it will be cleaned, it will become pure. Then it gets dirty again, then you sit in the company, then Allah, again with the fadal wala, your iman will be revived. And a special majalis in these words, then the shaykh will do the dua for you with the fadal wala, because Allah has made that gathering or that connection as the protection. Say subhanallah, we've sat in the gutter. What do we need? If the light glows, etc., we know that the water will fall and it will fall on us with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. So never for example, ignore the company or the connection with the Wali of Allah. Consider it as a great treasure. Because we do sins of the eyes and zina and hand, and that person's in danger. Mujadda al-Aftani, they said that person's in danger, who hasn't reached to the protection of the cloud, and that person always should do dua that Allah introduce me to the person who can guide me so that my sins, I can atone for them and get them forgiven and do good deeds, otherwise that person will stay as a fasik. So here we have the maqam of shukr. My friends, if you got the wali Allah, isn't it a great celebration time, or is it not? Is this a small thing? The verse of the Quran tell us, let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala allows us to continue in the same way. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to continue doing dhikr and fikr and the ability to do tawbah. And may we consider good company as valuable, precious, that the more sins we come with and sit in the majlis, automatically then your heart will be clean and purified and you will leave. If, whether you sit here or in Pakistan or America, wherever people are sitting, listening. Why? Because this is the majlis of the dhikr of Allah. And this connection of this gathering is not with me. The connection of this gathering is not with a man, not with a pious predecessor, but dhikr of Allah as a link and a connection, nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And when we have the nisbat, the connection with Allah, then, for example, here, what's beyond here is a wall, beyond that are cars, beyond that is something else. But when we stand, then, subhanallah, for example, we say, I'm standing towards Kaaba, Allah, where's the Kaaba? Kaaba is not in front of me. But in such a way, we have importance for that place, the Kaaba, which is thousands of miles away, because it says it's got a link with Allah, so it's always going to be the Kaaba, the house of Allah. Isn't it? So, Wali Allah is that person who has a link with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a cloud protection. And subhanallah, Allah says that if he is my friend, the wali Allah, then his company, his if you sit towards him and do dhikr of Allah, doesn't matter where in the world his voice is spreading, then the heart will be purified in that same way, and the forgiveness will be earned in the same way, and the hearts will be made soft, and distress will go, and problems will go, Allah Ta'ala says. وَآخْرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ